Well, if I fail tonight in getting across the basic message of Christianity, at least the hymns have done it. In that hymn, the word grace appeared. We started our evening service with the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. And the passage that I want to draw your attention to has grace written all over it, even though the word isn't mentioned. And it's 2 Samuel 9, where we have a true account of King David, one of the greatest Old Testament characters, showing kindness to the son of his enemy, Saul. And in this, we have one of the best illustrations in the whole of the Bible of what happens to a person when they become Christians. What Christianity? How is it different from every other religion? I can give the answer in one word: grace. How does one define grace? If you look at a theological dictionary, you will come across a definition like this: grace means undeserving favor. That's good, isn't it? Let's think of an illustration of that. If you were walking to church, and because Whitchurch Road is a part of Cardiff that has character because of the students living here, imagine that on a dark night like this, you were mugged on the way. Just imagine now. And that you were able, a few days later, to meet your mugger. And instead of trying to prosecute them, you showered them with favor. That would be a very faint illustration of grace. We read, don't we, of Christians who've been missionaries in countries where there have been wars, and they may have witnessed relatives shot in front of them, and they've been spared. And then soon after that, they're able to meet those who did such atrocities and not hold anything against them, and even show kindness to them. That's grace. But here, in this chapter, we have what is one of my favorite illustrations of grace. Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, David's enemy, didn't deserve any of this treatment. But David delights to show mercy. Now then, let me bring the message of Christianity down to this. I heard some people say, in our previous church, we were always being told what we should do for God. Have you ever had that experience? But here we are hearing about what Christ has done for us. That's grace. The gospel isn't about me trying to make myself a Christian. That wouldn't be grace. That would be bad news. It would certainly be bad news for me, and I'm sure it would be for you as well, because you know what you're like. But when I'm told in the Bible that God has done something for me, and that this something is all of God, 100%, it's not 50% God, 50% me. Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the ending of salvation, and everything in between. Now then, without further ado, because it's very warm here tonight, and I don't want to speak for too long, I just want to bring out three things about this grace as we see it in David's dealings with Mephibosheth. I've got the name right, haven't I? Firstly, regenerating grace. What was Mephibosheth's condition? I've certainly got to use the right word now, or I'll get into trouble. He was lame. He wasn't born like that. When David got to the throne, and when judgment came upon Saul and his family, Mephibosheth was still very young, and so the servants took him, and in trying to carry him out of the house, dropped him, and in the process, he became lame as a result of a fall. And that's what the Bible has to say about our condition spiritually, that we cannot be good enough. It wasn't meant to be like that. When God created this world, he made it perfect. It was a wonderful place, paradise. But the perfect man fell, and as a result of that fall, human beings ever since have been maimed by sin, causing us to be spiritually lame. And I don't know if you noted in the reading, but Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. Verse 13. Now you can imagine him lame on one foot. He would still have been able to hobble around then. And there are some people who think of becoming Christians in that sense, that they can kind of hobble to Jesus Christ, that they've still got some strength. Well, let me stop you from hobbling and tell you, you've got no strength. Have you noticed that? Or are you still deluding yourself? You know, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, the people that hated him most were not the down and outs, the ones outside the church, the drunkards and the prostitutes. They listened gladly to his message because they knew that they couldn't make themselves right with God. It was the religious folk that hated him because he made them feel uncomfortable, because they thought that they, by their good works and by their religious deeds, could somehow please God. Are you still there? I feel sorry for you if that's the case. Let me tell you again, you're lame in both feet. Man, by searching, cannot find God. Stop searching. Surrender. Say to God, God, you have to do it. So there was poor Mephibosheth, stranded in Lodabar, which incidentally means the place of no pasture. I don't want us to spend too much time on these Hebrew names, but that's very significant if you think of this as an illustration of our condition before Christ comes to us. Is not Cardiff Lodabar? You will find plenty of things to do here. We've never had it so good, even in a recession. The city, even in the last 10 years, has grown remarkably. We've even got a 5-star hotel. But spiritually, it's no food. That's where we're at, I'm afraid. But this is the good news of Christianity. There's regenerating grace. What's regeneration? Well, we've had an example of it in Cardiff Bay, a part of the city that was renowned for violence and being run down, Tiger Bay, being transformed. And now you've got the 5-star hotel, you've got the assembly, you've got these flats. It all looks so grand, doesn't it? On the surface, anyway. That's human regeneration. When God regenerates, it's not the outside that he takes care of, but the hearts. Now look at what David does here to Mephibosheth. If you've got a Bible, verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him. Don't you like that? David wants to show kindness to Mephibosheth. Poor Mephibosheth is stranded in Lodebar and cannot move because of his disability. So David doesn't just issue an invitation. He sends his servants to carry him to Jerusalem, to the palace. Now, I don't want to leave you in despair tonight by telling you that you cannot do anything to make yourself right with God. That's true. You don't have the strength. But this is encouraging. God's grace comes to where you're at. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. And I know some of you here have gone a great distance in sin. You can't fool me. You know, we pastors, we're not fuddy-duddies. You may be respectable on the surface, but I know your imaginations. I know some of the desires you've had, and if it wasn't for God's common grace, you would have murdered people. You've gone very far, but I want to tell you that you haven't got further than God's grace can reach. If you want to think in terms of cars, your sin is a Mini. God's grace is a Lamborghini, and it will overtake. So grace comes where we're at. And then this, the timing. This is how Paul put it to the Romans, describing the gospel in Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, at exactly the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, you don't have to stir up the strength to believe in Christ. You can only accept. He's died at the right moments when you couldn't have done anything. Regenerating grace. What's Christianity? This is how one book describes it in the title, The Life of God in the Soul of Man. You don't make yourself a Christian. I don't want disciples here. You know what the famous John Wesley once said when somebody pointed to him, a person who had backslidden, they said, "Ah, Mr. Wesley, there goes one of your converts." And he said, "That's right. They were just that, my converts. They were not truly saved. It's God's work, conversion." And this is why I'm not writing anybody off tonight. God the Spirit can come to you when you least expect him to. And he can bring life where there was death before. One person experienced this in a very powerful way, and he wrote down what he went through. And this is how he described it. I wonder, will this help somebody here who is struggling? Lord, I was blind. Not just lame, blind. I could not see in thy marred visage any grace. what I'm preaching tonight is gobbledygook to you. You just don't understand spiritually. But the Spirit opens your eyes. But now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Lord, I was deaf. I could not hear even the thrilling music of thy voice. But now I hear thee and rejoice, and all thine uttered words are dear. This is the book of God now to you. Lord, I was dumb. I don't understand why these Christians here are singing God's praises. It's boring. I could not speak the grace and glory of thy name. But now, as touched with living flame, my lips thine eager praises wake. And it's worse. Lord, I was dead. Dead is dead. There's not even a spark of life in a dead person. And that's what we're all like. We were dead in trespasses and sins. I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to thee. But now, regeneration, since thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre, from the grave. Lord, thou hast made, not me, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the dead to live, and lo, I break the chains of my captivity. I'm not speaking to you tonight and asking you to build bricks without straw. I'm not pleading with you to do something when you don't have the strength to do it. I've come to tell you about the grace of God in Christ, and that grace can regenerate you. Poor Mephibosheth couldn't do anything. David did it all. Regenerating grace. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That word power comes from the same word that we have dynamite from. Explosion. The second thing I want to tell you about grace is this. Redeeming grace. Here's Mephibosheth then, fetched into the palace. Oh, imagine him. Before the king, the one that he feared, because his father had been an enemy of David. And he was probably worried at this point as to why David had fetched him from Lodebar. And instead of words of judgment, he hears words of mercy. Can I ask you, friend, are you filled with fear when you consider God? Roman Catholics need somebody like Mary to come to Jesus Christ because they dare not approach him as he is. What a terrible state to be in. I heard of one Muslim, when asked if they prayed, said yes, but we don't know if he hears us, speaking of God. A craven fear. And maybe you equate religion with that kind of fear. Well, religion never was designed to make our pleasures less. Yes, grace changes us from what we once were and makes us righteous. But it is mercy. It is mercy all, immense and free. As I said at the start, Mephibosheth deserved to be judged. That was the fate of all of Saul's family. And every one of us here tonight, whether we agree with it or not, deserve death and afterwards the judgment of God. I'm not stating my opinion. I'm simply saying what the Bible says. Man, that you and me, is appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. We're not right with God, you see. We're running away from him at the moment, and we think we're going to get away with it. But one day, we pay back time. And if we're not right with him now, once we leave this world, it'd be too late. And that's why I'm preaching tonight. I'm not giving you a lecture tonight. I'm concerned about you. I want every one of you on that day not to be under condemnation, but to be able to look at God in the face and say, it's all right. I'm not going to hell. I'm on the way to heaven. That's what Christianity is about. Religion simply offers people a vague hope. But Christianity is here to give us a certainty in these things. And if you truly ask yourself, am I ready to stand before my Maker? You will have to give the honest answer and say no. Did you see the clip of that, I don't know what the right word is, but let's say tobogganist in the Winter Olympics? He started off alive, fit, gifted. Then the toboggan went too fast and went off the path, and in that crash he died. A few moments, at the start he was in the world of time. In a few minutes, whisked away to eternity. We do not know what tomorrow may bring. That could be you, my friend. Are you right with God? Do you have peace of conscience? Are you able to say, it is well with my soul? It doesn't matter what your profession may be. It doesn't matter how active you are in the church. It doesn't matter how sound your theology. The question of questions is this: are you ready? And if not, there's a fear in your hearts, just as was in Mephibosheth's. And the answer to calm your fears is this: redeeming grace. There is forgiveness with God. Now, you need to look at how David does this. You see, it's not for Mephibosheth's sake that he has mercy on him. He puts it like this: is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Or a little later, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? As if God's mercies are different to human ones. Now, you must know your Old Testament here, and you may remember that David had made a covenant with Jonathan all those years ago to keep alive any of the family of Saul, even though they deserved God's judgment, to be merciful to them. And it's on the basis of that agreement, that covenant, that David here has such kind dealings with poor Mephibosheth. And there's your hope tonight. It's not because you deserve anything of God. It's for Christ's sake that God can be merciful to you. You know, imagine if we had to gather all the goodness in Heath Evangelical Church. All the acts of kindness, all the religious services we're offering, all of these things, if we were to offer them to the Lord and say to him, Lord, on the basis of our goodness, have mercy on somebody. He wouldn't listen, because all our goodness would stink before him. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, soiled. But because it's for Christ's sake, God can have mercy on the worst of people. How does this grace come to me then, even though I deserve God's judgment? How can a holy God reconcile me to himself? Is it possible? Yes, it is. Because Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago for the one purpose of reconciling us to God. And he did it by taking upon himself all the sin that we have ever committed, past, present, future, bearing shame and scoffing rude. I know that's quaint, but it's good, isn't it? In my place, condemned, he stood. He died. Me, no more die. You're never going to be good enough. Not even 10,000 years of good works and religious activity will make you acceptable to God. Christ has done everything. And because of Christ, God can be just and justify you. I want to extend this offer again to you, friends, tonight, that whoever you are, you cannot say to me, I'm too bad for Christ. It's like me, you know. I was asked this afternoon, how often have I been to the doctors? Well, apart from having to go to A&E once, I've never been. I'd have to be really ill to go to the doctors. Now, if I was really ill, would I say, I'm too ill to go to the doctor? Have you ever come across a person like that? You'd probably want to knock some sense into them if they said such things. Well, what about people saying that they're too bad for a savior? What do you think a savior has come into the world for then? Listen to Christ. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear me, he's just for you. If you feel a wretch, a failure, who has no hope of making himself right before God, Christ fits the bill. So here's regenerating grace. There's power in the blood, wonder-working power in the blood. Here's redeeming grace. God, for Christ's sake, forgives. And very quickly, restoring grace. Mephibosheth hears the wonderful words, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, not for your own sake, but because of the covenant I made long ago with your father." I got it wrong at the start. Mephibosheth isn't Saul's son. Jonathan is Saul's son. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son. But it doesn't matter if I've got that wrong. I haven't got the gospel wrong. You know, the assurance here. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I know not so many things. I get my grammar wrong. I get my facts wrong. And I don't even know why God's wondrous grace to me should be made known. But I do know whom I have believed. I do know that if you put your trust in Christ just as you are, then you shall be saved. I do know that this word is truth, and that the God who's authored it cannot lie. I do know that if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. I'm not a politician. I'm not afraid of admitting that I'm wrong. If it gets Christ more glory, good. Now, what I was going to say, the third point, restoring grace. You know, I'm sure Mephibosheth would have been glad just to have been forgiven. Listen to him say, "What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? That's all I am. I'm a worm." If you haven't reached that point, my friend, then you're still thinking that there's something in you. But all you can do is say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve anything. It's hell. But you can forgive me. And that's all I want, just a place in heaven, even a terraced house. I don't want a mansion." But he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you." What a mansion Mephibosheth had here. He was able to eat at the king's table. He was adopted into the king's family, treated as one of the king's sons. He was given an inheritance in the royal family. Now, I haven't got time to deal with these riches that could be yours in Christ tonight. What I'm saying is this: when God does a work in you, he doesn't just reconcile you to himself. It's not just an insurance ticket to heaven. He does so much more. I know we Christians don't give the impression that we have riches in Christ, but it's true, you know. You're not just forgiven tonight if you're believing in Christ. You're adopted sons. As Billy Bray used to say, "I'm a king's son." You're not just given something for eternity, but an inheritance. Now let me finish with a little imagination. Come with me to the palace in Jerusalem and imagine the table laid with food. And one by one, some of the king's household come in. Do you know some of David's family? First enters the king himself. By now he's no longer young looking. He's old but grave, and a man who has known God. Everything about him suggests gracefulness. And then next is Joab, the commander of the army. He is a strong man, a wily politician, and all his features show that quickness. He's gifted, a man of the world. Both of them are alpha males. And then comes a handsome one, Absalom. Well, he is one that the women can't help but admire. The handsomest person in Israel. If they would have had newspapers around in those days, they probably would have had gossip columns about Absalom. And some of the other sons come in as well. They are all A males, alpha. But there's still one place remaining at the meal table. And you hear somebody disabled coming with some sticks. You can hear the sound of them. and he doesn't look like much, but he takes his place with the rest of the king's household, Mephibosheth. My friends, when you look at the Bible and hear about David and Abraham and Moses and Peter and Paul, when you read in church history about great Christians and realize that one day they'll be at the meal table of the Lamb, you may feel, how can I be among them? But if God accepts Mephibosheth, he can accept even you. Grace. Empowering, having mercy, and giving so much more than we deserve. I'll finish there. But I can't leave you without asking, what are you going to do with this God of Mephibosheth? Who is Christ to you? Is he still a historical figure? Or are you going to respond to his grace? Not as if responding can make you a Christian, but are you going to say, Lord, I know I'm a wretch. I know I can't do anything about it. When I try, I take two steps back for one step forward. I know that if I continue like this, I will end in hell after I die. But I've also heard tonight that you are a God of grace, and that you can empower me, giving me faith to believe in you, that you on the cross died for sinners like me, and that you ask me to come with nothing in my hands. And Lord, I'm coming. I'm calling. I'm crying. Do not pass me by, but have mercy on me and make me like Mephibosheth, for his name's sake. Amen.